Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Mike Pesca, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Pakistan's worst flooding in 80 years continues to leave millions of people displaced and desperate. And while the floodwaters have begun to recede in certain parts of the country, officials are struggling to provide relief aid and prevent the spread of disease. Joining us to give us the latest on the flooding in Pakistan and America's response so far is Assam Ahmed, a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Are you in Lahore, Assam?
Correct. I'm here in Lahore right now.
Also joining us is Mohsen Zahir, editor of Sada-e-Pakistan, a Pakistani-American newspaper in New York. Hello, Mohsen.
Hello. How are you doing?
So first, very well. First, my question is for you in Pakistan. Can you just give us a sense of where things stand today? What's the situation there, Assam?
Well, the latest update is that the flood waters are, as you say, they're receding. They've been swamping the last few villages in the Sindh province, which is in the south of the country, before heading out to the Arabian Sea. So I think finally that month-long nightmare is coming to a close. But beyond that, I think, I mean, the recovery efforts and the challenges being faced in terms of getting aid out to where it's needed remain. And you know, you have an economy on your on your hands which has been devastated. Pakistan's agricultural sector, which accounts for over a quarter of its economy, has lost out badly, with about 7.9 million acres of agricultural land damaged.
And the U.S. has been the largest single donor of aid. We've committed $200 million to help Pakistan recover. Have you seen any effect of that aid?
Yeah, certainly. When I've been out in Swat Valley in northwest Pakistan, I mean, there are Chinooks and Black Hawk helicopters taking off from air bases and making rescue sorties and picking up survivors. And I think in total, if you want to quantify that, they distributed some hundreds of tons of food aid and rescued over 3,000 to 4,000 people over there. And the people I talked to, is when they were coming out of those helicopters, they were obviously very grateful. And these are people who have been in a valley which has been very radicalized, and they were saying things to me like, people who want peace understand that America is not our enemy. And so I think that's had a very positive effect in those areas, and that's going to, you know, add some credibility to the U.S. image here, which has taken a huge battering over the past many years.
So that sounds like the U.S. official aid going somewhat far and changing hearts and minds. Yet in the Washington Post, David Ignatius wrote that now's the time to treat Pakistan like we treated Haiti. And he asks, where's the surge of private contributions? Where are the movie stars whose private jets were queued up in Port-au-Prince? Where's Anderson Cooper? Where's Barack and Michelle Obama? Are these the questions, Mohsen Zahir, that the Pakistani community is asking right now?
Yeah, that's right. You know, all these questions are being asked by Pakistani American community, and at the same time, they are acknowledging that U.S. is one of the biggest donor to Pakistan at this time of disaster. But at the same time, even question the other day, one of my readers called me at office. They said, like, even the $150 million aid giving to Pakistan by the United States, they said 20 million people are affected by this flood. And they said if we break down the $150 million aid, so it means almost $7.50 would go to each victim of the flood. Mm-hmm. And they said this is not enough money. And the other thing is, in the beginning, people have were talking about the response by the U.S. media. They said the U.S. media did not pay attention to this disaster in the beginning, but later the media is focusing a lot on this issue, and that is the good thing. But still, there is a lot of talk about the role of U.S., the people you just talk about.
And according to the Associated Press, Americans were 40 times more generous during the earthquake in Haiti. It could be attributed to a lot of things. Haiti's a closer neighbor. There's no war going on with Haiti right now. Maybe Americans are confused about who our ally is in the region. Maybe it's compassion fatigue. What do you attribute the relative difference in aid in Mosin?
Yeah, that is an that is another area which where people feel that, you know, the response by the American peoples are not as great as it was to Haiti. That is point number one. The other thing is the Pakistani Americans, they did not outreach to their American fellows. So in one case, I know one Pakistani in New York, Farooq Vadaj, he put a money box in his 14 candy stores, and most of his customers were American customers. And according to him, all those money boxes were filled in very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, my experience was very good. When I approached my American friends, American customers, you know, they donated the money generously. And so I think the Pakistani American community should also outreach the American public at large and request them. Although Secretary Clinton requested people to donate money by texting the phone, but and Angelina Jolie, she donated the money. But other than these two, you know, figures, I don't see anybody who's urging Americans to give money to the flood victims of Pakistan. And I think on this part, you know, the people who could, the men who matter, they should come forward and play their role.
We're joined now by Councilman David. Is this David Greenberg calling in?
Greenfield.
Hello, Councilman Greenfield. Welcome to WNYC. You represent many Pakistanis?
Yes, of course. Mosin is actually a friend. I represent the largest Jewish community in the United States and the largest Pakistani-American community in the United States, both in Brooklyn. And, you know, Mosin's right. We do have to do more. On a local level, we're doing what we can. It's a tragedy not just for Pakistanis and their relatives here in Brooklyn, but also for their Jewish neighbors who are saddened by these events. Specifically, we're working here with the local Pakistani community to collect canned goods in my office at 45th Street and 16th Avenue in Borough Park. We're also raising money for the Pakistan relief effort. I've enlisted the help of two of the most prominent Jewish groups in New York, the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations and the Sephardic Community Federation, both of whom are helping us raise money for the Pakistan relief effort. And the reality is that in New York City, where we all live together and we quite literally have synagogues, mosques, and churches on the same block, we feel the suffering of our neighbors and we have an obligation to assist them. And so I encourage all of your listeners to do what they can to contribute to the Pakistani relief efforts.
And when you, in your official capacity, try to enlist aides, maybe up the food chain in terms of prominent figures, you getting any pushback on that?
You know, it's tough to keep people focused. It really is. There's so much going on. I think it was a tough summer, and unfortunately, when the events happen in the summer, people don't pay attention. And there's a lot of controversy swirling now in New York. But I think this is something that everyone can agree on, right? I think we can all agree, for example, that the other day when there was a hate crime against a Muslim taxi driver, that was deplorable. We can also agree that when there's a community in need, even if they're halfway across the world, it's our duty as citizens of the earth to assist those elsewhere that are in need.
Thank you very much for calling in, Councilman. And I want to go back to Izam Ahmed in Pakistan. Can you analyze, there's always the tension in Pakistan between military rule and civilian rule. I know the president of Pakistan, President Zardari, was heavily criticized for not being immediately involved. Has this bolstered the military at all?
Absolutely. I mean, the military's image has definitely been bolstered because they've been seen to be there out on the field making the rescues. And just coming back to what you were saying about American movie stars, interestingly enough, Angelina Jolie made a private donation of $100 million, and that's outstripped the private donations of Pakistan's president, prime minister, leader of the opposition. So that was also another point of contrast. And in a country which has seen, I mean, military rule for roughly half of its 63-year existence, there's always that tension playing out between the military establishment and the political government. Even though people realize at some stages that, you know, the military establishment is the only institution equipped to deal with such a crisis, because they've been swallowing about 60-70% of the budget, I mean, for many, many years. So obviously you're going to be the first point of response in the case of a disaster. So So in the past few weeks, we've been seeing some reports coming out that, you know, that the military is drawing up plans, or that they may be trying to implement some kind of regime change, not through the front door per se with a military coup, but by installing their own kind of favored politicians into a puppet government. Those rumors are beginning to die down a little bit. I mean, I don't think they built up the sufficient momentum to get that going. And also, you have other considerations, like, for example, you know, how that would be viewed abroad by Pakistan's allies. So that might be just dying down at the moment, but it's certainly, you know, it played into the military's hands, and it's weakened the people's faith, which was already weak to begin with in the power of the civilian government, which has a reputation, at least, for being very corrupt and poor administrators.
One comment on our Facebook page and one by phone touch on similar themes. I want to put them to you. Sam from Chelsea says that maybe Americans haven't been that compassionate because of the perception that anti-Western sentiment is widespread in Pakistan. And Barbara in Queens says something similar, that Americans aren't being as generous because they're afraid that money would fall into the wrong hands. Any evidence of that, Assam?
In terms of evidence falling into the of funds falling into the wrong hands, I haven't seen that so far. And I think it's important to donate, I mean, just on a human level. Pakistan's government, Pakistan's military establishment does have a bad reputation, is known to be, you know, playing both sides of the field when it comes to tackling militancy. They, you know, fight militancy on the one hand, those militants which are against their own interests, whereas they, you know, shelter, for example, the Haqqani group in Pakistan's North Waziristan territory, which is actually engaging American troops. But at the same time, I think the ordinary Pakistani people, I mean, they're not really responsible for where they were born, and they're not really responsible for the actions of their corrupt leadership or of the military establishment. So to deny them aid on the basis that, you know, on that basis, that wouldn't be, you know, it would be sort of unfair on a human level.
And finally, the Associated Press reported that the Pakistani Taliban said that the presence of foreign aid groups hoping to aid victims is unacceptable. Is this bluster? Is there any evidence that aid workers feel threatened in delivering their aid, Assam?
Well, I've been talking to a lot of aid workers, groups like Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, and the Red Cross and Red Crescent societies, and they say they remain unfazed. They believe that their independence and their impartiality in conflict zones gives them some degree of protection. And there's some evidence to back that up. I mean, in the aftermath of the 2005 earthquake in Pakistan, there was no sort of sustained campaign against aid workers by the Taliban.
Right. We do have to leave it there, and I want to thank you for joining us. Assam Ahmed of the Christian Science Monitor joined us from Lahore, Pakistan. Also, Mohsin Zahir, who is the editor of Sada-e-Pakistan, a New York-based Pakistani newspaper. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Pesca, in for Brian Lehrer, WNYC.